Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Don't forget Dante Jones versus Draymond Green. That's a 6-5 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Dante Jones. Oh, man. I needed a breather, Shasky. This is one of them shows where I wish it was 3 hours, because we may have used all our bullets, man.
Speak for yourself.
I feel like you now. I'm going to speak for everybody like you do. Boy, we're just fatigued right now. ADD's kicking in. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. It's not. We're having a lot of fun today, man. 10-2. We're all jacked up this week. Sam Coyne's going to join us. Oh, I think he's on the line in a second here. What a great article, man. The jokes have been nonstop, dude. The jokes have been unbelievable.
Sometimes they write themselves.
They do write themselves. Sam Coyne, CBS Sports NBA reporter, covers the entire league, wrote a great article yesterday. He wrote about Lowry Markkanen, the standoff between the Warriors and the Jazz, why both teams are making bad offers so far, Podzimski versus Kuminga, and I respect Sam Quinn's work. We've been following him for a long time here, Shasky. Warriors and Jazz probably have path to Markkanen trade, but what is the middle ground? So we're going to ask Sam Quinn right here on the River Islands guest line. As Sam Quinn joins us on the River Islands guest line, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest lines. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Sam, what's happening, man? Good afternoon.
Guys, great to be here. It's kind of a weird time in the offseason, right? Like, all of the action from early July is kind of over, and we're sort of just waiting out the, like, staring contest here between the Jazz and the Warriors. And, like, there are a couple other possible trades going on, but, like, this is the dull time where it could happen at any time, but it also might just not happen at all.
Mm. Are you in Las Vegas right now in Summer League? Are you walking around listening to agents and GMs or whatnot?
I cannot stand July in Vegas. It's too much. It's too hot. I'm not in Vegas.
Nah, that's real.
Can we ask him the most important? We're going to get to the NBA portion.
Oh, the most
you
important.
You know that your name almost closely resembles a local rapper who's one of the most famous of all time. Your name is Sam Quinn.
Yeah.
The rapper's name is San Quinn.
The Mighty San Quinn. But we're calling you the Mighty Sam Quinn.
Have you ever heard of him?
I've never heard of him. Is this a Bay Area guy?
Oh, yeah. Like, San Francisco.
Yeah.
The Mighty San Quinn.
I'm flattered. You know what? If this whole basketball thing doesn't work out, it's nice to know that I have some backup options.
There you go. Well, I think it's worked out well for you. Your article is very intriguing here, Sam, as you write for CBS
like
Sports.
Barry, scoring like Jerry. There, there still right here, Sam Quinn the Mary.
Now, you think Matt Markkanen seems attainable for the Golden State Warriors, even at a big, big cost here. So what is the middle ground to making this trade? Let me ask you this. Should the Warriors make this trade? And because I'm not as high on Markkanen as a lot of other people are, Sam.
I'll put it to you this way. A year ago, the Mavericks were a lottery team, and you look at the guys they added. It was PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively. Like, these are good players. They didn't add another superstar, and they made it to the finals. I think what that tells you is that competing in the West is so much about matchups that if you get Markkanen and you think he makes sense against, you know, this team, that team, whoever, I don't think the Warriors, just by virtue of being a 10 seed last year, are that far away, right? Like, I think if you get Markkanen, you can plausibly talk yourself into, like, okay, we could be the 4 seed, we could be the 5 seed, we could be the 3 seed. Like, we could be a firm playoff team with 2 offensive stars and a lot of defensive pieces in the role player slots. That might not guarantee us a championship. I know the standard for the Warriors is relatively high because when they signed Kevin Durant, it was like automatic championship. For most teams, it doesn't really work that way. When you make a star trade, you're doing it because you think it gives you a chance. I think with Stephen Curry and Lauri Markkanen and the sort of supporting cast they would have, you'd have a chance. Is it 30%? Is it 10%? Is it 2%? It's somewhere in the middle. Like, I think you'd probably put yourself firmly in that group of, like, maybe not as good as Oklahoma City, but you're maybe down, like, you know, Denver, you know, Minnesota, the teams like that. You'd have a chance. Is a chance good enough for you? If it is, you make the trade. If you think you need to save these assets to either rebuild post-Steph, or if your standard is higher and you think we're only going to give up all this stuff, if we can get a Durant-level guy who, like, gives us the guarantee that we had in 2017, then you don't.
So where... I'm reading the article. It's a really well-written article on CBS.com. So where is... Like, what's the middle ground here? Because you're saying that the Jazz are asking for too much. The Warriors aren't giving up enough. What's the middle ground in your estimation?
Yeah, so the reporting right now has been that there are a bunch of picks on the table. That's pretty obvious. Like, if any version of this trade happens, Golden State's going to be giving control of its first-round picks to the Jazz for most of the next 7 years, you would presume. The Jazz are reportedly also asking for Brandon Pozemski and Jonathan Kuminga. The Warriors aren't offering those guys at this time. Now, what I'll point out here is that there's kind of a soft deadline of August 6th. That's when Lauri Markkanen becomes eligible to renegotiate and extend his contract. If he's going to do it, it makes the most sense for both him and the Jazz to do it on August 6th exactly, because if he does so, he's not eligible to be traded for the next 6 months. 6 months after August 6th is February 6th, which is the exact date of the trade deadline. So I would say we're looking at around another 2-3 week window where trade negotiations are happening. It doesn't really make sense for either Utah or Golden State to make their best offer right now, since they both know this August 6th deadline is sort of looming. So it makes sense that you'd kind of lowball, right? That being said, I think the Jazz probably understand that they're not getting both of those young guys, and I think the Warriors probably understand that they're not getting Markkanen without giving up at least one of them. So then the question becomes, which one makes more sense to trade? Again, this becomes a matter of perspective. I think Jonathan Kuminga is the higher upside of the two young players. I think there is a version of his career that sees him become a multiple-time All-Star. He has the athletic tools. Like, he really did break out last year, and I think with more shots available on this year's team, like, there is a chance that he could grow into, like, a very, very special player. I don't think that's going to happen for Brandon Pozemski. I think he's going to be a good starter. I feel that's a pretty reliable prediction there. I don't think he has the tools to become, like, you know, you just lost Klay Thompson. I don't think Pods is going to be the next Klay, but I think he's a good player. The real reason Pozemski seems to be at the center of all of this is that he has 3 years left on his rookie deal, and Kuminga only has one. If the Jazz trade for Kuminga, they're paying him right away. If they trade for Pozemski, they've got several more years of him being cheap. On the other side, if the Warriors trade for Markkanen, they're going to have to max him out, so they probably would prefer not to max out Markkanen and pay Kuminga when you already have Curry and Draymond and Wiggins on the books. They just got out of this luxury tax hell. They don't really want to dive right back in, I would assume anyway, and say, oh, we're going to set ourselves up to pay the second apron in 26. So right now, I think there's probably a version of this trade that's feasible for both sides where there's one of those two young guys. I think right now, and I think Shams Charania has reported this as well, that Podzemski is sort of the one that the Jazz are more focused on. Do I think they would blink on Kuminga if it ultimately came to that? I think they probably would, but that's not reporting. That's more just, if you're the Jazz, the reason you're doing this is because you don't think you have star upside, at least beyond Markkanen, right? Like, you're doing it because you want to tank, you want to get rid of Markkanen, be one of the worst teams in the NBA, get a bunch of assets, then also pick at the top of next year's draft. You can do that with Kuminga. The best version of Kuminga is several years away. You get him, you bring him in the building, you develop him now, give him a bunch of shots. Maybe in a few years, you're looking at a scenario where you have Kuminga as the best version of himself as a star, but then you also have all these other draft assets. You have guys you've picked. You have picks from other teams. You're really set up nicely. I think, and I'm stating that I think, and I'm not reporting, that if it came down to Kuminga and a lot of picks, the Jazz probably do it. With the Warriors, I'm less certain.
You think the Warriors are higher on Pods or Kuminga? Because yesterday, I don't know if you were watching, Sam, and we have Sam Quinn on CBS Sports, wrote a great article on CBSSports.com trying to break down his trade or potential trade between the Jazz and the Warriors. Joe Lacob, here, I'll just play the sound for you, Sam, and you can react to it. Here's Joe Lacob last night at Summer League on his feelings about Brandon Podzemski.
He was a revelation, to be quite honest. I mean, he's one of the, all-rookie team top five in the league. He started a whole bunch of games for us. Steve had troubles getting him off the floor. I mean, he had to have him on the floor. He was so good. He does so many things well. He's ultra-confident. He's got an NBA body. He can get wherever he wants. He obviously can shoot threes. He can drive. He can pass. I mean, what can he do? We're really excited. We think we've got a future all-star.
Are we overrating Podzemski in this market, or are we underrating Jonathan Kuminga?
Yeah, I think future all-star is a little much, right? Especially when you're talking about a guy who's an older rookie who you'd probably prefer would be taking more threes. He's a very good shooter. He's a little too hesitant from deep. Like, I don't know that he has the athletic tools to be like true all-star kind of guy, but he was already a very good player as a rookie. Like, I think he's going to settle into being a very good starter and be like the sort of role player that contenders need. I'm not trying to undersell him. It's just like Jonathan Kuminga physically can do things that he can't. Now, Jonathan Kuminga can't shoot like him, and Jonathan Kuminga doesn't have a lot of the role player skills that Podzemski has, but it kind of comes down to what you're prioritizing, right? If you're thinking we need somebody who could potentially like be an all-star 5 years from now when Steph is either retired or really, really at the end, Kuminga makes more sense. If you're thinking all that matters is winning right now while we have Steph, I think Podzemski probably helps the 2025 Warriors more than Kuminga does. So, look, there are arguments for both. I think given where they are, if they're willing to go into the second apron, I might take the swing on just like we're going to pay Kuminga and we're going to be ultra-talented and we'll figure it out. Kuminga would be such a great fit, too, on a team with Steph and with Lowry, right? Like, imagine Draymond throwing him lobs out of the short roll with all that shooting around him. Like, that seems like it would be a pretty great fit. But Podzemski, just given the contract and given the stability of knowing what you're getting, I see what the Warriors see. I'm not as high on him, but I understand why they are.
How do you see this ending?
Look, it's boring, but the inertia answer is usually the right one in the NBA. If I had to guess, I think on August 6th, the Jazz will renegotiate and extend Lauri Markkanen. They'll get him up to a much higher salary, and they'll lock him in long-term. And then either at the trade deadline in February or next offseason, they'll revisit the Markkanen trade, knowing that they have all these years of team control, and they can offer him to a much wider variety of teams, right? Like, the danger of trading for Markkanen if you're most teams is you don't know if he wants to be there. You can feel pretty safe that he'd want to be in Golden State because, like, look, I've never met a player who doesn't want to play with Stephen Curry. So I'd feel pretty comfortable saying he'd want to be a Warrior. But if the Jazz want to open this up to other teams, you probably it makes sense to re-sign him first and try this again in 6 months or in a year. That said, if he does renegotiate and extend, I don't want to say that knocks the Warriors out entirely. It just makes it significantly harder because the Warriors don't have that much matching salary, right? Like, unless they want to start talking about trading Wiggins or trading Draymond, which I don't think would be their plan at this time, Lauri Markkanen only has an $18 million cap figure. That's preposterously low for an all-star caliber player. The Jazz can sort of hold on and say, we don't like this offer. We can wait. The Warriors can't just say, we can't trade for Lauri Markkanen. We're going to trade for one of the 10 other all-stars making $18 million because those players just don't exist.
Right.
And even if they did, they wouldn't be available. So I think the Jazz have a little bit more leverage here. And Danny Ainge has this reputation of he's only going to make a trade if he thinks it's an A+, right? Like, he's not going to make a trade that he thinks is fair. He's going to make a trade that he thinks he's won significantly. So I don't think the Warriors are going to give up both of those guys. I think we might get to a point where they'd offer one of them. I don't quite know if that's enough. So it's close to 50-50. I think there's a reasonable chance that this happens. Inertia is typically the strongest force in professional sports. It's easier to predict that something won't happen than it will. So yeah. I guess I would slightly lean towards it not happening, but it's on the table. It's possible.
So let's say this, Sam, before we get you out of here, and we really appreciate the time today. Sam Quinn, CBSSports.com, here on the River Islands Guest Line. Let's say if the Warriors don't get this deal done, how do you view this roster moving to the next season with the Kuminga, with the Podziemski, with the Moses Moody, and all the additions they made with Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, and De'Anthony Melton?
I think it's a deceptively good regular season team, right? Like, they're very deep. They have a lot of good NBA players. That being said, like, just given the talent here, if Steph sprains an ankle and misses 25 games, like, that's it. It's kind of that simple. The West is so deep that if you don't have your one star and you don't have a secondary star to carry the load without him, there's just kind of not much you can do. You go 7-18 in that stretch. And poof, where you were once a 5 seed, you're now an 11. If they stay healthy, I think certainly play in. If not, like, maybe a playoff team. It's just so hard when you get to the playoff stage to say we have one high level shot creator, which is Steph, and then after that, we're really relying on the system and a lot of role player guys. I don't think that's going to fly. Even in 2022, like, Klay wasn't Klay, but Klay was still a very good offensive player. And Jordan Poole, it's gone off the rails since then. But Jordan Poole at that point was at least like a pretty good secondary shot creator.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins was better than he's been over the last years. I hope he bounces back. Obviously, the personal issues, hopefully he can at least, you know, live with that. So, look, I think without another star, the championship conversation is off the table, right?
Right.
Like, they're just not talented enough in their current iteration to challenge the best teams in the West. If they're okay with being a play-in team that has some optionality and, like, just because there isn't a guy now, like, maybe some other player becomes available in a few months.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say if they're really all in on we need to win with Steph while we can, you make the trade and you deal with the consequences later.
Sam Quinn, everybody, here on 95.7 Game with Butcher and Bonte. Sam, thanks so much for the time, man. Really good article, really good insight. I think Warrior fans are not mixed. I think a lot of Warrior fans are now saying, we don't really want marketing for that price point. So thanks for breaking down what you wrote on CBS Sports yesterday.
Absolutely. Like, guys, thanks for having me. We're going to be doing this for weeks. we've got a lot of marketing rumors ahead. This
so
is going to
here's your homework.
Down.
Here's your homework. Look up San Quinn, the rapper, so the next time we talk, you at least have an idea.
Are you a big hip-hop fan?
I'm not a huge music person in general. I will make an exception for somebody who basically shares my name. Next time I'm on, I'll have some
thoughts. Bonte's a Swiftie.
I am a Swiftie now. I am a Swiftie. Shake It Off is a hit right now. My 3-year-old daughter is killing me with it.
10 years ago.
No, I didn't know. It's a hit to me right now. Listen, Sam Quinn. If you start listening to Sam Quinn, your street cred will go up because it's a little street. I don't know if this is your type of vibe, but, you know, you could go into the hood or whatnot. And
shock
all the people
the party,
on Twitter.
Sam.
Yeah, shock the party. There it is.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
He has no idea what we're talking about.
No, I know. He's going to do some homework, though. I believe him. Sam Quinn on the River Islands Guest
Line. Listen to the story I'm about to tell.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
Everyone thinks that that's a Nicotina song, and it is a Nicotina song, essentially.
Yeah.
That's a Sam Quinn song.
It is a Quinn song.
Although,
he only does the hook. Sam Quinn's doing the entire rap.
I know, but it's such a
Nicotina, it, like, kind of kills it with the hook.
The voice is just
like
iconic.
A Nate Dogg. It's like Nate Dogg. When he does a hook, it's like, yeah, it's kind of, you forget that they're not Nate Dogg songs.
Well, no, they are. Because everything Nate Dogg sings is, you know,
I don't think there's ever been a bad feature with Nate Dogg, ever. In the history of existence.
He wanted to become a star.
Yeah.
Let's give Nate Dogg whatever he wants.
Yes, 100%.
Get him on the hook.
100%.
Give me Nate Dogg.
I would throw Casey and JoJo into that same mix, although they didn't do as much.
I'm with you there.
God. Must be a single with Nate Dogg singing on it.
Sam Quinn, higher on Kuminga than he is Podziemski.
Yeah, yeah, and he also, it sounds like he's going to stick with the no trade materializes because that's, you know, probably of all the averages, that'll probably be the thing that happens the most.
I don't know, though, because you know what? Now I'm thinking about it. When I was in Cuba and Kawhi Leonard, that thing lingered for so long with San Antonio, and that trade, if I'm not mistaken, that trade may have happened in late July. I don't know. Look up the date. It felt like that one lingered a little bit. Felt like that lingered. So there is a chance. Maybe we get some breaking news in late July or early August, whatnot, that Lowry market. The Warriors do like marketing. They really do. Spadoni, what's the date?
No joke, guys. 6 years ago today, July 18th.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Raptors acquire Kawhi Leonard.
Damn, that's crazy. I was in Vadanero Beach and 2 hours east of Havana, and I turned on the TV and was like, oh, we got television now, because the first 3 days of Cuba, I had no TV. And I was like, wow, Kawhi's going to Toronto? Really? That's so strange. And you know, he's winning an NBA championship. 6 years ago today. Wow. Wow.
So Popovich has sucked for 6 years. That's what that tells me.
So as an all-time wins.
I'm just keeping record. Just keeping record.
Hey, that bank account doesn't suck, though, right?
No.
They got Wimby, so.
They got Wimby.
I told you, the greatest coaching job he did all year was that tank job.
Yes.
And then, he knows how to winning take. Winning it, of course.
Oh, he knows how to take. He knows how to take. I've heard some taking stories. He knows how to take. He's part of the Warriors taking job back in the day.
You think they're still in on marketing? That was the only other team that was really kind of interested, reportedly, were the San Antonio Spurs.
What could they give up other than picks?
Well, they have some young guys.
Keldon Johnson, yeah. Jeremy Sohan.
Sohan, yeah.
I know. I get it.
And their picks might be more attractive than the Warriors in the short term.
The picks? Yep. Yeah.
You imagine marketing with Wimby and Chris Paul?
You know, that would be a really nice fit.
It's a nice little squad.
Yeah.
Not a championship squad, but a nice little squad. I mean,
Chris Paul, man, just
he's working out. I saw a video CP3. With him and
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Chris Paul.
I saw him.
Are we gonna remember that 10 years from now?
Yes, we are. Jamal Crawford, him and Jamal Crawford
Chris
are working
Paul
out.
Season. Or are we gonna go back to hating him? Because I think I'm gonna go back to hating.
I'll never forget that day. I'm in swim class with Baby Chez, and there's 5 missed calls from Joe Shasky. There's 3 missed calls from Chris Mullin. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on? And Shasky, Johnny Poole, I'm like, what? Yeah, that was a wild day. Wild day. And I talked myself into it. And you know what? Chris Paul.
Of course you did.
Chris Paul was a good warrior.
Of course you did. Because you listen to Lake Up, you know? You're just listening to Lake Up. You're like a bobblehead. Like, yep. He's right.
I'm not going
to
sugarcoat it. I sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I love you.
I think that what we wound up doing, I'm so proud of our group for what they accomplished this summer. People don't understand how much better I think our team is, even right now, versus last year. We had 46 wins last year. We should have been, in my belief, a 50-win team last year. You know, the Draymond suspension clearly hurt us and some other things. Look, there's always some things that happen and some that don't and so on. I think we could have been better. I think we're definitely a better team than we were last year on paper. The way I like to look at what Mike has done and Kirk and those guys is that we now have core older guys, you know, who are still good. Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, he's got to get a little better this year. Obviously, he's got a little better year than he did before. But they're sitting there, those 3 guys. You've got the 4 young guys who are just getting better. Young guys don't usually get worse, and these guys aren't. And then you've got 3 other veterans. There's a couple other veterans on the team as well that will add, but 3 other veterans that really can play, that are clear rotation players that we just added, and the 3 guys you mentioned. That is a deep team. That is definitely deeper than we were last year.
So there it is.
Well, I agree it's deeper. In an indirect way, I don't think that he was malicious with this, but in an indirect way, was that a subtle way of saying, like, yeah, Clay wasn't that good.
Yeah. Yeah. And CP3, yeah. Clay let us down. It was a subtle. But see, you know.
And I don't mean that. I don't mean that. Like, that's what Lakeham was saying. I'm just saying, like, if we strip away a lot of the depth.
No doubt. Everybody's mind is going to say Clay held back the team. Our boy Tommy, JSW Tommy, big time Warriors fan, Bonte. We should have been better, but Clay shot us out of a lot of games. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of other things happening, too.
Sure.
Like, we can't squarely put everything on Klay Thompson.
I don't think everyone is. Right. But I do think
a lot of people look at Klay and like, he held back and we could have been a lot better. But then at the same time, didn't we hear the same dialogue last season about to go to St. Louis? We're so deep. We have optionality. We could go to a different, we could go to all these different combinations, right? Wasn't that the case?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's never one thing. It's always a variety of things.
Saquon Plowden's going to join us on the other side.
Oh, nice.
He's going to call us on the bus back to the hotel. He's going to be on the team
bus. Back to the hotel. Too deep.
Yeah, I do love that one. That's a banger. That's his only hit.
He had the, you know, the nine. On the stomach.
Don't need to explain that one.
It's a classic Bay Area
song. Don't explain that one. That beat is so hard.
Come back with that. Back to the hotel. In Too Deep. Classic. Jay-Z ripped it off.
You're out of control. Send the tools, man. It's all loopy.
I'm in my bag, bro.
You are in your bag. You've been very... You know what?
This has been an all-time... performances.
This is like flu game Jordan. Like game six Jordan.
Game six Clay.
I've never forget watching the last dance.
He's not playing Clay.
The last dance, Anna watches the flu game for the first time. She's crying. I'm like, what are you doing crying? The flu game is so emotional. I was like, yes.
Remember everybody's opinions?
Food poisoning.
After that?
Wasn't he have the flu? It's bad pizza.
Or he partied him. I mean, the guy was having beers during the day.
Who the hell knows what Michael Jordan?
Smoking stogies.
We don't know what Jordan.
Gripping baseball bats.
We don't know.
I mean,
know.
That guy was out of his mind.
All right, more coming up. Daquan Plowden, new two-way contract with the Golden State Warriors. He's balling in summer league. He's going to join us next. Right here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromise.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Goo, here's Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky.
All right, Steiny and Guru coming up for Crosstalk in about 10 minutes, but right now we're going back down to Las Vegas. And we're going to talk to our boy Daquan Plowden, who's having himself a hell of a summer league right now. The Warriors are 6-0 in summer league, and good for him. He just signed a two-way deal with the Golden State Warriors. Congratulations, Daquan. Joe Shasky, the Butcher, Vontae Hill here on 95.7 The Game. Daquan, what's up, man? Congratulations.
Hey,
Hey, how's everybody doing? I appreciate that. Thank you.
And it's, man, you're putting up highlights after highlight after highlight, and I know you're in the team bus right now, but first and foremost, I got to ask you about Philadelphia. You're born and raised in Philly, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Are you a big-time Eagles fan, Daquan?
I am.
Oh, man. Don't
know. Do you know that we got beef with them?
That's all right.
Daquan, before it's all said and done, because the Warrior fans are loving you, we're loving you right now and what you're doing in Las Vegas, we're going to get you that red and gold jersey, man. We're going to get you off that Philly train. All right, brother?
I don't know about that. We can see, though.
All right, so are you into rap or no?
You say, am I into rap? Yeah.
Okay, so who's the greatest Philly rapper of all time? Is it Beanie? Is it Meek? Who is it?
Just because it's my generation, I'm going to take Meek.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
I like Philadelphia Freeway, but it's all good. But tell us about your journey, man. You end up with the Warriors Summer League team this season. I know you worked out with the Wizards and the Pelicans and the Jazz prior to the 2022 NBA draft, but it just seems like a fit here. Tell us about your journey here to the NBA.
Yeah, nah, man. It was honestly just trying to be consistent wherever I went to. You know, my first year, it was a big learning curve, and I was trying to, you know, get acclimated to the NBA style and everything like that. My second year was really like my kind of takeoff, you know, I was a little bit more comfortable, you know, had a little bit more know-how, a little bit more experience throughout the NBA G League and everything. And then, you know, now it's just honestly taking all that experience and showcasing it here, you know, in the summer league with all these guys.
So what do you hang your hat on? You know, like some guys, like I'm going to be the junkyard dog, you know, and other guys, like I'm a straight shooter. I'm a defender. I'm a 3-and-D guy. If you were to explain what you hang your hat on to a coach or any of the fans out there, what would you say?
Probably I'm a Swiss Army knife. You use me anywhere, honestly.
I love that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I always try to develop my game, try to be all around, you know, whatever the coach needed. You know, I was that type of guy, so I think that's the identity that I still, you know, uphold.
Who's your favorite player of all time?
Honestly, of all time, it's weird because I have, like, it's categorized within positions.
Okay.
Like,
give us point guard.
Point guard, it'd be Rajon Rondo.
Ooh, that's underrated. I like that. Okay. Two-way player out of Kentucky. Okay. NBA champ. Yeah, no doubt. Shooting guard,
I have to take Larry Bird.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, three. At the three, small forward.
At the three, I'd take KD. KD, I was somewhat a similar build, you know, coming up high school, college a little bit, so I used to try to model my game after him. Power forward, I'd say like Blake Griffin, just because of the simple fact that like he jumped out of the gym.
Okay.
You could jump out the gym, too. We were watching you yesterday.
You're
jumping
impressive.
Out the gym at the Cox Pavilion, man. You're ducking all over
the center.
And then center, honestly, I take that footwork wise. I got to take Hakeem.
Hakeem loves Hakeem.
That's one of my favorite players of all time. You say it, Larry Bird. So it seems like you have a great grasp on history and the history of the sport. Wow. You know, you get a lot of young kids saying, "Oh yeah, those are plumbers," and yada yada yada. It seems like you do really respect the game.
They're not hip.
They're not hip to that. You're six six, and you became the school's or your high school's first 1,000-point scorer. You were a two-team All-State team selection. So why do you think you flew under the radar when it came to going to college and when it came to being undrafted?
I feel like I wasn't fixed on trying to be the biggest name or like, you know, worried about what people thought. I trusted Bowling Green. I trusted my high school. You know, those are places that took me in and developed me properly. Like, I wasn't the glitz and the glamour of being a first-year starter and all those things. Like, I was more focused on my development, which took a little longer. And, you know, so a lot of guys aren't okay with the slow grind, the slow process and everything like that. So I was definitely taken into good arms and to a good organization back in my college and everything like that. And I feel like that's the reason why. You know, it was a little bit slower of a process for me. And, you know, now that everything is on showcase, it's like, holy shoot, this dude really, really went under the radar.
Nah, you're shooting the heck out the basketball right now. We're talking to Daquan Plowden. Just signed a two-way contract with the Golden State Warriors 2 days ago. He's here on the River Islands guest line with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky, the Butcher. So the shooting, like, we went out to the California Classic for the second game. Like, who were you guys? I forget. No, the Lakers. You were playing the Lakers. Because, you know, we had this fascination with Bronny James or whatnot. But he doesn't play. So we're watching you guys. I'm like, who's this Plowden guy? Who is Plowden? Like, you just popped our board. I was saying, I like this Daquan Plowden guy. So then you guys go down to Vegas, and you're shooting the heck out of the basketball, nearly 50% for the three-point line. So that's shooting. Do you hang your hat on the shooting or your ability to slash?
Honestly, now knowing my role, probably my shooting, but like understanding that I still have slashing in my like in my game, but now like just playing off my shooting now that I'm shooting the ball at a much higher clip.
So you signed the two-way deal. Who's the first person you gave a phone call to?
Ooh.
My family.
Who in particular, if you don't mind me asking?
My family. I called my dad first, my mom shortly after, but, you know, just slowly but surely contacted all my support system, you know, everybody that's been directly acquainted to me and helping me get to this point and pushing me even through the longevity of, like, you know, slow summers and slow seasons and everything like that, so...
You know, me and B have a very unconventional route to being on the radio, and it's not like other people's route. We didn't go to journalism school right out of high school and graduate and all that stuff. And so, like, I relate to the grind and the struggle. What was, like, the lowest moment of this journey? I mean, obviously, you still feel like you've got a lot right. to go. I'm not pretending like you're at your end goal here, but I bet it was pretty rough. Like, what can you give us maybe some insights into the lowest moment where you kind of doubted yourself? Because we've all doubted ourselves.
Yeah, honestly, it was probably after last summer league. You know, I was with OKC. I didn't play. And, you know, that was kind of like the first time that somebody has actually put me on the back burner like that, like to where I didn't play as much. And it was really hard. It was really challenging just because I knew my value. I knew what I brought to a team. And, you know, honestly, like just the patience that was needed throughout that summer, you know, it was a very long process of trying to get a contract and trying to find a new home just from the simple fact of, like, you know, I didn't play in the summer league. You know, that was really hard for me because, you know, I felt like my time was winding down in terms of, you know, my age. I'm getting a little older and everything like that. And, you know, the league, the average age in the league for, you know, rookies and things like that is, like, right around, like, 20 years old. So I understood that, you know, my time was winding down. So it was really challenging for me.
Wow. Well, you made it. I'm looking back at your college numbers here. You're an all defensive team in the MAC conference for Bowling Green. And we know point of attack defense is very important with the Golden State Warriors. It's very important in the NBA. So we're looking at you, man. You continue to roll here. What has it been like playing with so many guys like Brandon Podziemski and Trayce Jackson Davis?
Man, it's been amazing. The things that they do on the floor, their IQ, just the knowledge that they bring to the game, especially after their, you know, after their tremendous year this past year. You know, those things, they all matter. And, you know, experience goes a long way. So them just sharing that experience with me and everybody else that's here is big.
Who else have you reached out to on the squad? Have you talked to Draymond? Have you talked to Jonathan Kuminga, Kevon Looney, Steph, who's with Team USA right now in Abu Dhabi? Who'd you talk to? Who else have you talked to on the roster?
I haven't really spoken to too many people. I know I spoke to Gary Payton a little bit. Nice. You know, he's down here in Vegas and whatnot, and you know, we just got to chat for a quick second, but, you know, I'm looking forward to chatting with everybody, just to pick everybody's brain, just, you know, to see what they expect from me. And yeah, I'm excited, man.
Former two-way guy, GP2, yeah. Sasky.
He made the most of his opportunity. Fan favorite. People love him. Daquan, you have a great story, and we're going to be pulling for you, man. I mean that sincerely. What do you do for fun outside of hoops, man? Is there something? You seem like a very serious guy.
You're composed, man.
You're very dedicated to the craft. So what do you do for fun? You watch Star Wars? Do you Netflix? Do you play video games?
Say no to Star Wars. Just came out.
I'm a big gamer, man.
What do you play?
I play some Call of Duty. Okay. I don't really play 2K no more, but I play Call of Duty. I play, like, Battlefield. Like, I'm big into, like, first-person shooters.
Xbox?
Like,
PS5?
I'm on PS5 right now, but okay. I do have an Xbox. I streamed a little bit. I was on Twitch and whatnot. So, yeah, I do it all. I think I'm going to upgrade to a PC soon just for the...
Oh, he's serious.
Oh, yeah, you are serious.
Gallery of games and whatnot. So, yeah,
hey, bro,
that sounds like you should have been at a tournament with Bronny. It sounds like you should have been at that tournament with Bronny and got the 10K.
What's crazy is I didn't even know that it was going on. So, I mean, it's all good, though. Hey, always a chance next year.
Those keyboards on those PCs, I took my nephew to go get them. It's a trip. Those things are expensive. And some, you want them to be louder. Some are colored. Like, it's the whole keyboard game within the PC video game community is its own subculture. It's wild, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, some of the best PCs are really expensive, actually. So that's definitely something to take into account when I'm thinking of trying to get one.
Well, Daquan, this has been fun. We're going to give you a pass from being from Philadelphia and being an Eagles fan. You'll get to know us. We're some diehard Niner fans. We're in Philly a couple years ago, and those fans are ruthless. Let me tell you, Daquan. We had no idea what we're getting into.
You got to love them.
No, I hate them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
We hate them, but we love you.
You know what? We love Ishka Bibbles, though. We went to Ishka Bibbles, and that, oh, my God, that was delicious.
Is that the best place to get a cheese steak out there?
Nah, man, you gotta find you a nice little corner store somewhere, you know, wherever you're comfortable at. That's how I was eating them. That's where I was going to. You know, that's kind of like my go-to. I don't know about everybody else, but you know, that's where I kind of find, you know, some of the best cheesesteaks.
I do love Jim's. I do love Steve's Princess Steaks. I do love Ready Terminal. So Philly's a great town.
Ready Terminal is off the
hook. Ready Terminal is off the hook, man. It's off the hook. But we'll let you know about the food out here in San Francisco. Yeah. We'll get to know you, and we'll get you out here. We do have great taquerias, great burritos and whatnot. But Daquan, continue the great work, man. Yep. Congratulations on a two-way deal, man. You're balling out there in Summer League. And let's stay undefeated, huh? Let's stay undefeated in Vegas.
Hey, we're trying to, but I appreciate that dearly. Thank you.
Have anytime. A great day. Daquan Plodden, man. What a cool story, man. On the River Islands guest line. What a great story. Great story.
Who can't relate to being counted out?
Yeah, no doubt.
You know,
he's making the most of his efforts. He was putting on the show last night.
I mean, he barely even played last year. You know, good for him.
And if Joe Lacob was blown away, he's like, here, real quick, 14 seconds, loving. Here's Joe Lacob on Daquan Plodden.
He's even playing better than I thought. he's really playing well. I don't know what he's shooting from three for the summer league, but it might be over 50%. Not even positive, but his shot looks pure, looks good, he looks confident, he's not rushed, and he looks good. Mm-hmm. We're excited.
All right, we're excited too.
He looks good.
He looks good. Look at Lakeham. He's feeling it right now. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Buddy Hield spoke. Buddy Hield spoke. Do we want to hear from Buddy during the crossover? Buddy Hield, crossover Steiny Guru next.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Guru, here's Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
All right. Crossover time. That means we're about to leave, Shasky. Steiny and Goo from 2 to 6.
Thank God.
As the lineup is all jacked up. Tomorrow, we're giving away an autographed Klay Thompson jersey. No, it's not a Dallas jersey.
Oh, boy.
It's a Golden State Warriors jersey.
Yay!
And they're giving them all. They're selling them for half.
He's in Dallas.
Last time, the autographed Klay Thompson jersey. Listen at 8-11 with Willard and Dibs, 1-11 with Shasky and I, and 5-11 with Steiny and Guru for your chance to win an autographed Klay Thompson jersey. What is up, fellas? What's going on, Steiny and Goo?
I'm missing the 10-2. I'll be real. The honeymoon's over. Yeah.
I need my spot. Why'd you have to look at me like that?
Yeah, no, I'm just honeymoon's over, man.
What did you do at the gym today? I saw some gym.
Bench press. I did the bench and dips. I go to the machines where the OG strong dudes go, and nobody's ever there. Yeah. So I do the pull, the dips and the bench press. And then ran 30 minutes on the elliptical.
You had the guns out a couple weeks ago, man.
Hey, that you actually wasn't the worst picture. No, I know it was supposed to make fun of me.
No,
I
was trying to prop you up. You would love it with the biggest guns out here, 95-70K.
Look at Steiny.
I'll tell you what, Evan's got a little bit of heft up on those upper arms. Uh-oh. Hey, you know what I was just thinking of when you're talking about the Klay Thompson jersey? When Dallas comes in here this year, everybody should wear a Klay Thompson Warrior jersey that goes to the game.
Well, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I'm not either.
You think a lot of fans will do that?
I would.
There's so many of them out there.
You could have thousands and thousands of fans with Klay Thompson's 11. That'd be pretty cool.
When should that game be played? Opening night, Christmas? When should that get him coming back?
I think we may get opening night and Christmas and Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
I can't wait.
You know, the NBA maximizes those type of storylines.
It shouldn't be in February,
opening
Butch.
Opening night, it'll be Lakers at home with Bronny James. They're going to get that out of the way. Just knock that out. So the Warriors will either be against the Lakers or they're not going to be on opening night.
Are we still a Christmas team? Remember, that's our thing.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay, he's box office. They could be a Christmas team, but they may be the 7 p.m. Christmas team.
No, I think they're going to be food for the New York
You think
Knicks.
So?
Yeah, they'll be on the East Coast. What do you mean?
Really?
They'll be
because they used
morning,
to be home. Well, they played Phoenix on Christmas a couple years ago.
One of the morning slots. I could see them in the morning slots.
Were they... Were they on Christmas this past year or no?
The Denver Nuggets. Okay. Was it 11 o'clock?
You're right.
11:30 or something like that.
That's right. That's
I didn't
right.
love that.
Should have won that one on the road.
Back in the day, they did play the Clippers late night on Christmas. It was a 7:30 slot.
When they beat Harden.
Yeah, when they were all about to fall asleep or whatnot. So That is a great question, Coop. Steph Curry's still box office.
He's going to draw people in.
What do you guys got going on today?
We're stealing from you a little bit, giving you guys some love.
We stole from you. We stole 49 Freaky.
Tell them, Steiny.
We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to let the audience really come at us if they want. Oh. So you guys...
It was great.
What a magnanimous gesture to revisit your guys' takes.
I was on the train, Trey Lance.
Yeah. It's hard to hear.
Is it?
No,
it
it's
is.
Fun. It's but it was fun. With it? It's what you no, saw and what you thought. Funny.
That's the thing. See, like, I felt that way that day.
Right.
But in retrospect, it looks so dumb. And it sounds worse.
No, but you know what?
What I love
about it. But you saw what you saw.
Well, exactly.
And what I love about it, there's a lot of people in our lane when it came to Trey Lance. And slowly but surely, you start to see media member after media members back away.
Yeah.
And fans start to back away and say, I don't know about it. Maybe we jumped the gun. But it's funny. You got to make fun of yourself.
And I'll say this about the 2021 draft class. Of all the guys that have failed, you're going to laugh, and now he's got some mysterious injury in Dallas, and they're kind of panicking.
Trey Lance
against Trey Lance, if he'll be available for week one preseason.
I don't know what's going on,
but I will say this. He hasn't failed as much as the others.
Yeah.
As much as we bury him here. I mean, what, five starts?
Three
starts. The other guys are like, night-night. I would just tell Trey, you ain't had a season of boo-boo, you know?
Man. See, you know what? When sometimes I get so defensive. Really? and competitive about a take that, okay, the thing you're making fun of yourself about, which, by the way, is a great trait, you could still stand behind. When you said, it's Trey Lance's job to lose, maybe it was. Maybe
and he got
it
hurt,
was.
Butch.
Look,
I didn't use him
I'm
right.
I'm telling you what I saw that day. Bonte, did we make I'll it up? Did we fabricate
you,
it?
You want to play the beginning?
Other media members in the Bay said it was the best practice they ever saw, too.
I thought he was starting week one in Detroit.
They
I was like, Jimmy's
finger.
Job is done.
They were
and
going
when you look
back
at the reaction of the players, Debo had to be held off by a coach, had to be walked away because Jimmy threw this pick. This pop-up Debo was irate, ready to slam his helmet. And the way the players reacted to Trey Lance, I'll never forget it. I was like, wow. They got it right with this pick.
Wow,
he's
going to
do wonders in the
system. I don't even think that's my worst particular opinion, though.
No.
I was convinced Colin Kaepernick was going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God, that's a great one.
So, like, Colin Kaepernick, I was convinced when Chris Mortensen came out and said what he said, because what we saw was, like, phenomenal.
Incredible in the playoffs, too.
And watching him throw for 275, run for 181, I'm like, okay, look, I know this guy has all the skills. He's going straight to Hall of Fame. And Chris Mortensen goes, you might be looking at one of the greatest football players ever. And we're
he was a thing.
Wow. He was
12 yards from getting a ring.
Just look at James Wiseman. I was convinced after talking to a lot of people, I was like, dude, he reminds me of Chris Webber. And his trajectory, his rookie season, I was like, Warriors finally got their center for the future.
He was the second best player for the first two games that season. Watch the games back.
Yeah,
no, he was
the second best player the COVID year, whatever that was, 2021?
I thought Terrence Jones out of Kentucky should have been the pick over Harrison Barnes.
Wow.
I was convinced Terrence Jones of Kentucky was going to be an NBA star.
Wow.
I was wrong.
What's yours? What do you got? You got any good ones?
I got
one that made his career.
I got a couple about Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But, I got a bunch of them.
Yesterday?
No, I got a bunch of them written down. And we're going to ask the listeners if they remember any that we might not remember. But yeah, we're going to poke some fun at ourselves and
we played
some of our real bad takes.
We were in
the
there pulling some sound for our last interview with Steph, and I felt bad. You know, watching it again, these words came out of my mouth. I said, Steph, he's your Skip Bayless. And hearing it again a year later, Scoo, you snitching. He laughed, but Stoney, they knew what I meant.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's got to happen. As one said, the Niners should trade the number two overall pick for Antonio Brown instead of drafting
Who froze his feet off six weeks later.
And then 3 days later, I was like, you know what? He did something. I was like, maybe
we can laugh at him, and he deserves it. But when he was in his bag, Antonio Brown was as good as anybody that's ever done.
And he had a 7-year run that's up there with anyone's.
I thought the Niners were a receiver away. I was like, get Jimmy a weapon.
But there's so many ones that you had right. Like, for example, okay, the DeSean Jackson draft. The Niners had multiple swings at DeSean Jackson. Oh, so and I'll never forget
Watson.
Being a what?
Or what? Jackson or Watson?
The receiver.
Oh, no, the Bo- receiver.
Oh, oh, yeah. So oh, okay.
They took Bulmer, who no one had heard of, okay? Then, okay, second round. He's still there. He's still there. They take the worst offensive lineman on USC, Chyla Rashad.
Chyla Rashad.
And I go, they passed up on DeSean Jackson not once, but twice. Then, years later, had a chance to trade for him, and instead took A.J. Jenkins with that pick.
Who played game. Like Roscoe Jenkins.
That was Harbaugh, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I have a name in my pocket. Yes. Apparently, Trent Baalke said he wrote a name and put it in his pocket, and Harbaugh's like, well, I have a name in my pocket. Like making fun like of Trent Baalke.
Like draft day. Yes. Kevin Costner draft day. Yes. I name, I'm going to write it on the paper, put it in a drawer.
When he picked A.J. Jenkins, everyone who watches college football was like, who?
Yeah, wow. Big Ten.
D-Jack was still one of the fastest first, I've ever seen.
His
do
first
it.
Game ever at Candlestick, he clowned the Niners.
Man.
Clowned them. Like he knew he's DeSean Jackson.
Oh, DeSean Jackson.
He's super him. On no, the no, football
DeSean
field.
DeSean Watson's
fast.
Another one.
Yeah, Watson. Incredible.
I thought they traded back. I'm like, oh, wow, they traded back from 2000.
But now
show.
We can all say he might not have missed.
I mean, yeah,
he got his money.
Who?
D-Watt.
Who's to say
Watson.
Who's to say the Niners weren't in on him before all the allegations?
I think they were. I love the woulda, coulda, shoulda trades. Bill Walsh was convinced he needed to trade for John Elway for the 83 draft. Right? No, you read his memoirs and all the stuff, and then we learned in that expose on ESPN about that draft. Yeah. He was, and the Raiders, were dying to move up for John Elway.
Man.
Joe Montana would have been out the door, and he would have been making every move he could for John Elway.
You guys ever watch that 30 for 30? Elway to
it's
Marino.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
I did not. That's what I have not
Elway's
seen.
Elway's agent tells a story.
Yeah.
Al Davis had a deal done with the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
But Al Davis and Pete Rozelle was beefing, a former NFL commissioner, and the Bears, quote unquote, ran out of time with their pick. And so the Raiders weren't able to get the deal done. They're going to send either Greg Townsend or Howie Long
Greg
to Chicago
Townsend.
For John Elway.
Wow.
So
I got to check that one out because I love Dan Marino because he was.
To me, he was going to be a Steeler.
That's my favorite
Super
quarterback
Bowl.
Ever.
Yeah. Thought he was going to be a Steeler.
Is he your number
one? He's one of these top three.
Wow.
I loved, part of it is because we share the same birthday.
Yep.
But I just love Dan Marino. He would just drop back, no mobility, and just let it fly.
Would you rather have
brothers.
Dan Marino's career or Phil Simms?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Sims got two, didn't he?
Two.
But he didn't start for one.
Hostetler got the other.
But he also had 11 for 28 or 11 for 26 or whatever it was.
But the Super Bowl, he was like 22
for 25.
There you go. It was some incredible efficiency.
Does legacy supersede, I guess, winning? Because I want to say Marino because his legacy is he's one
Aaron
of the best
Rogers,
to ever do it.
Aaron
he's still
Rogers
one of the
or Eli Manning? Like, who would you rather be? Everyone knows Aaron Rodgers is better than
one
Eli.
Of the,
Eli got the two rings.
Against the greatest, arguably, quarterback ever.
Because I think about this with Kershaw.
You know, Eli owns New York City.
I know.
He eats for free in New York
he's
City.
He's disrespectful.
It's the biggest market in the world. And Aaron Rodgers tricked off or pissed off everybody in Green Bay.
Physically, that dude is one of the greatest.
He is.
Quarterbacks
that's
A-Rod
another
would've, could've, I've ever seen.
Would've, could've, should've. Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers.
Would you rather have Charles Barkley or Robert Horry?
Wow.
I'm Barkley
that's
all
unbelievable.
Day. I'm Barkley all day.
I don't know. Horry's eats for free in like five cities.
Like, does he have seven?
Six or seven.
Six or seven.
Would you trade Clayton Kershaw's career for Tim Lincecum's? Kershaw will go down as the much.
I think I would take Lincecum.
Right, I would too.
I would take Clayton. I would take Clayton.
You take Kershaw.
On his best day, he's one of the best to ever do it. Barring the playoffs, Montez.
I think I'd rather have Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Kershaw's done it for so long. I love Lincecum. That's tough.
But Barkley, people forget just how great he was.
Yeah, he was.
Like Marino, he didn't get the ring, but he was better than Orr. Like, you know?
One of the greatest game sevens nobody talks about against the Sonics, Western Conference Finals. He had 44-24.
Fuck, it was bad.
44-24 in a game seven. Man. Nobody even talks about it because he ran into Jordan and didn't win a ring.
Well, how about that game he had against the Warriors when they swept him 3-0?
You better double 56? Team me.
Yeah.
Nelly would
he went
do
around
it.
The back, yamming on Chris Webber. Ugh.
Yeah.
That was
well, Chris Webber went around the back and ended on him.
No, but he did it as well.
He did
later
it later on.
On.
He just did the one hand.
After the barbershop commercial, which
that
was filmed
is
in
the great. That's when the Warriors were popping.
Yes.
And Stoddy put, we were at the cafeteria, and I go, one of my biggest what ifs for the Warriors that year that they lost to Phoenix, I'm like, if they would have played anybody else, but if Tim Hardaway would have been Avery Johnson, it doesn't get. But Stoddy goes, tell him, Stoddy, what did you say? It wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked.
We don't know that.
It wouldn't have worked.
I hear that. Tim Hardaway
because
and
Spree
Weber.
Had a problem with Tim Hardaway.
There you
see,
go.
When, so what happened was Hardaway got hurt. They drafted Weber.
Yeah.
So Weber's rookie year, they had Avery Johnson, Mullen, Spree, Billy Owens.
Oh, my goodness. 1576.
Who's the guy? I'm forgetting.
Rod Higgins.
No, Weber. It was Weber.
Spreewell,
Billy Owens, Mully, and Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson, okay.
And so here came back Timmy Hardaway, who averaged 25 a game, and he just wasn't the right point guard for
for
that team. And Spree was never a big fan of his, and Spree and Weber were so tight that Hardaway came back to the team, and Mullen might have been hurt at the start of that year, so he was in the, you know, he was kind of alone, Hardaway coming back onto that team, and then... Then all
when you loose. Say that team, I think KICU Warriors.
Chapter
do you remember
36.
That?
Oh,
Steve Fizziak.
That's my guy. Steve Fizziak. Was he good? He was great, man.
You might be thinking of Kenny Albert.
Kenny Albert was good too.
Kenny
had the rug.
Who's the other guy? He did boxing and he did a
Barry Tompkins.
We've been blessed out here.
He did the classic fights with Sugar Ray. Marvin Hagler.
He was in Rocky.
He was in
Barry Tompkins was in Rocky.
Wow.
That's crazy.
He was in Rocky.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Adrian.
Bad takes. Yeah. Bad take. What's your worst take? Good.
My worst take.
Maybe don't give it away. Or just give me a recent one.
Give
me a good stuff.
This one hurt. I saw something in Wiggins' eyes the day Curry got hurt against the Bulls. Butch, I really did, man. Yeah, I was like, he's about to take over. And it was crickets. I thought I did. I rewound it. Yeah.
Guru, I'm kind of a sucker here, but I'm kind of buying some Wiggins stock right now, and I don't know why.
No, you have.
I'm buying some Wiggins stock right now.
What else can you do with your money?
Warrior money. I haven't got no Warrior money. They didn't make the playoffs. Your boy's hurting. So I haven't taken no vacations.
Bottom line is he can play. Willie, that's the enigma.
I would say one that aged well. Give me one, a random one that aged well that you still hold on to this day. You have a Dak Prescott tweet that aged really well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I have a Josh Allen one from 2015. So, I watched him at Wyoming. There was a guy, Brian Hill, at running back.
Yep.
Him, and I said, this Josh Allen will be a star in the NFL. And it's one I hold to this day.
Yeah, the Dak Prescott. Got one was he's
yours?
At Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston was at Florida State. You guys know I'm a big Florida State fan. And Marcus Mariota's at Oregon. And I said, I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe I'm high. But I believe Dak Prescott will be a better NFL quarterback than both these guys. And Mariota and Winston went 1-2.
And they suck.
And look at Dak.
Wow.
Even though he's gets ridiculed.
Yeah,
he's still a top 10 quarterback.
I got
that's a good one at age.
He's
well.
Not better than Purdy.
Yeah.
Not better than Purdy.
What are my good ones? I mean,
you had a whole year.
Yeah. I know what was a good one was I tweeted out, this must have been 10 years ago, I tweeted out that Boris Diaw had made Draymond Green look ordinary on defense.
Wow.
And that's what he called me, a clown.
He responded on Twitter. You don't remember this, Butch?
So he's got it everybody.
It was a tweet.
Then we later had him on the air, courtesy of Subway.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Subway.
I think it was Brian Guru.
Those are the good old days. Courtesy of Subway?
And I brought it up, and he said, I was wrong. He said, Boris Diaw
was
one of the hardest things, hardest guys ever to cover. He had a big butt. He could use both hands. Da, 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 da.
Wow.
So, I remember Andrew McCutchen's first at bat for the Pirates, and I said, this dude's going to be a star. I didn't, you know, and he ended up having, we could say he had a damn good career.
One of the best Pirates ever, right?
We need to find the Brian in Palo Alto sound. When Draymond's got nothing left.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Dude is great, man. You're listening to 95.7 KGMC, FMAC, West San Francisco. By the way, we didn't replay his call from earlier today. An Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget.
It was on with Willard and Dibbs. I want to hear it.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. No, there's been some good takes, but you know what? You're never going to shoot 1,000%.
No.
You're never going to shoot 1,000. If you shoot 50% with your takes, I think you're doing well.
Well,
for
I'm
yourself.
Like Moonlight Graham. You know, I'm still looking for that first hit.
I love
That's
it.
Pretty good.
This
That's
is cool. So random and not what we're talking about, but I got to throw it to you three. I was in the barbershop and an OG older than me asked me, random, why is Roger Craig, the running back, not in the Hall of Fame?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you why.
He was the first Marshall.
He is a step in the evolutionary chain, but when you look at the numbers, like a guy like
Stockton Mitchell.
I agree with you. When you change the way the game is played, you deserve recognition in the Hall of Fame, because if you can't talk about the game and the evolution and the history of the game without his inclusion, then he needs to be included into the museum. But if you look at the raw numbers, a guy like Stump Mitchell and other guys of his era, because he played fullback at first, his raw numbers aren't great.
But you know what, though?
He played fullback and halfback.
The first Super Bowl, he was a fullback. But who was the half? Wendell Tyler?
Wendell Tyler.
Yeah.
He can hold on to it. Roger Craig made the all-80s team.
He did. That he did.
In an era that had Walter Payton, Tony Dorsett, Eric Dickerson.
Do you think Walsh got the credit for a lot of what Roger did?
Maybe, but I look at Terrell Davis. He had three monster seasons.
Super Bowl.
You keep it real. Roger Craig had a decade of a great career.
You know why he's in. He's in because Denver's underrepresented, and the John Elway thing.
Was it the TV stuff too?
Yeah,
television.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You can't write the history of the Niners without Roger Craig.
But if I'm him, I'm upset. Like, just damn.
We win 1,000. We had Marshall Faulk on the show one time, and he goes, "My game." I think it was with you, Groove. After Roger Craig.
The sad part is New York Giants 1990 NFC Championship game, they're going for a three-peat. Yep. He's the guy who fumbled and went right into Lawrence Taylor's hands. Yep. And like,
Last game ever as a 49er.
It sucks. He is an all-timer.
But that doesn't supersede everything, man. He was the first one to catch it and tote it.
When you think of Niners Dolphins in that Super Bowl, sure, you're looking at Joe Montana's salary, number one.
It was
him. But also the high knees touchdown run into the end zone.
In the fog, man.
I thought Roger Craig's one of the best running backs I've ever seen. Because I moved here in 90.
Okay.
And I was like, this guy's unbelievable.
He's a hog.
Man.
Really.
And the ladies love him, too.
Great guy.
Catfish.
Great guy.
I know.
He had a daughter that ran track at Midi that was like the whole world.
Did she play basketball? Did he have a daughter play basketball at Midi, too?
She blew away a bunch of the competition.
I mean, he was the way Summerall and Madden would talk about him. That run against the Rams in the 80s down at Anaheim Stadium. And Madden was just gushing over him. It was like, this guy, Roger Craig, look at his legs. He could just plow through you and break tackles left and right.
That's got to be a stinky feeling to know. We're talking about the Hall of Fame and being home or fishing or just living your life. Like, what did I do wrong?
I was working at Tower Market in the early 00s, and they were like, hey, Joe Montana sells milk here. And I'm like, no way it's Joe Montana, right? This is all a bunch of non-sports fans. They're like, no, former Niner, Joe Montana. He works for Strauss. This is the milk company at the time. I go, there's no way. This old-timer is walking down the aisles. Huge man. I go, that's Bob St. Clair. Now, he used to work for the milk company. He was a rep because he needed to have a real job. And I go, Bob, my grandfather loved you. Oh, no. You went to Cal Poly. You played all your home games at Kezar. This is being a Hall of Famer. Pulls out of his coat a Pro Football Hall of Fame card from the NFL Pro Set card that was his card with the broken face mask and the nose, signs it on the spot and gives it to me. He goes, here you go, young man. Had the largest hands
That's a story. How do I feel about a player that walking around with their old car?
I can relate. Yeah. I would do it.
I love it. He's just walking around. You got your cards here. It's like, hey, here you go.
I understand. Pro wrestled in the offseason to make money.
Leo
the Lion Nominee. He was an offensive and defensive lineman for the Niners.
All right, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you. The worst takes ever. You don't want to miss that here on 95.7 The Game.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Crossover Stiney Guru next.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Goo, here's Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
All right. Crossover time. It means we're about to leave, Shasky. Steiny and Goo from 2 to 6.
Thank God.
As the lineup is all jacked up. Tomorrow, we're giving away an autographed Klay Thompson jersey. No, it's not a Dallas jersey.
Oh, boy.
It's a Golden State Warriors jersey.
Yay!
And they're giving them all. They're selling them for half.
He's in Dallas.
Last time, the autographed Klay Thompson jersey. Listen at 8-11 with Willard and Dibs, 1-11 with Shasky and I, and 5-11 with Steiny and Guru for your chance to win an autographed Klay Thompson jersey. What is up, fellas? What's going on, Steiny and Guru?
I'm missing the 10-2. I'll be real. The honeymoon's over. Yeah.
I need my spot to look at me like that.
Yeah, no, I'm just honeymoon's over, man.
What did you do at the gym today? I saw some gym.
Bench press. I did the bench and dips. I go to the machines where the OG strong dudes go, and nobody's ever there. Yeah. So I do the pull, you know, like my thing. The dips and the bench press. And then ran 30 minutes on the elliptical.
You had the guns out a couple weeks ago, man.
Hey, that actually wasn't the worst picture. No, I know it was supposed to make fun of me.
No,
I
was trying to prop you up. You were loving with the biggest guns out here, 95-70 game.
Look at Steiny.
I'll tell you what, Evan's got a little bit of heft up on those upper arms. Hey, you know what I was just thinking of? When you're talking about the Klay Thompson jersey, when Dallas comes in here this year, everybody should wear a Klay Thompson Warrior jersey that goes to the game.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I'm not either.
You think a lot of fans will do that?
I would.
There's so many of them out there.
You could have thousands and thousands of fans with Klay Thompson's 11. That'd be pretty cool.
Should that game be played? Opening night, Christmas? When should that get him coming back?
I think we may get opening night and Christmas and Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
I can't wait.
You know, the NBA maximizes those type of storylines.
It shouldn't be in February,
opening
Butch.
Opening night, it'll be Lakers at home with Bronny James. They're going to get that out of the way. Just knock that off. So the Warriors will either be against the Lakers or they're not going to be on opening night.
Are we still a Christmas team? Remember, that's our thing.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay, you know what? They could be a Christmas team, but they may be the 7 p.m. Christmas team.
2:30. I think they're going to be food for the New York.
You think
Knicks.
So?
Yeah, they'll be on the East Coast. What do you mean?
Really?
They'll be
because they used
to be
home.
Well,
they played Phoenix on Christmas a couple years
ago. One of the morning slots. I could see them in the morning slots.
Were they on Christmas this past year or no?
The Denver Nuggets. Okay. Was it 11 o'clock?
You're right.
11:30 or something like that.
That's right. That's
I didn't
right.
love that.
Should have won that one.
Yeah,
on the road.
Back in the day, they did play the Clippers late night on Christmas. It was a 7:30 slot.
When they beat Harden.
Yeah, when they were all about to fall asleep or whatnot. So that is a great question, Goob. Steph Curry's still box office.
He's going to draw people in.
What do you guys got going on today?
We're stealing from you a little bit, giving you guys some love.
We stole 49 Freaky.
Oh, yeah. Tell them, Steiny.
We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to let the audience really come at us if they want. Oh. So you guys,
it was great.
What a magnanimous gesture to revisit your guys' takes.
I was on the train too.
Yeah. It's hard to hear.
Is it?
No,
it
it's
is.
Fun. It's but it fun. Was with you. It's what you no, saw. What you thought. Funny.
That's the thing. See, like I felt that way that day.
Right.
But in retrospect, it looks so dumb. And it sounds worse.
No, but you
it
know
did
what?
Happen.
What yeah. I love about
but you
it,
saw what you saw. Well,
exactly. Yeah,
and what I love about it, there's a lot of people in our lane when it came to Trey Lance. And slowly but surely, you start to see media member after media members back away.
Yeah.
And fans start to back away and say, I don't know about it. Maybe we jumped the gun. But it's funny. You got to make fun of yourself.
And I'll say this about the 2021 draft class. Of all the guys that have failed, you're going to laugh. And now he's got some mysterious injury in Dallas, and they're kind of panicking.
Trey Lance
again,
does?
Trey Lance, if he'll be available for week one preseason.
I don't know what's going on,
but I
so
will say this.
To the CFL.
He hasn't failed as much as the others.
Yeah.
As much as we bury him here.
You know,
I mean, what, five starts?
Three
the
starts.
Other guys are like, night-night. I would just tell Trey, you ain't had a season of boo-boo, you know?
Man. See, you know what? When I sometimes I get so defensive. Really? And competitive about a take that, okay, the thing you're making fun of yourself about, which, by the way, is a great trait, you could still stand behind. When you said, it's Trey Lance's job to lose, maybe it was. Maybe
he got hurt, Butch.
Look,
they didn't use him right.
I'm telling you what I saw that day. Bonte, did we make I'll it up? Did we fabricate
you,
it?
You want to play the beginning?
Other media members in the Bay said it was the best practice they ever saw, too.
I thought he was starting week one in Detroit.
He
I was like, Jimmy's
finger.
Job is done.
They were
and
going
you look at the reaction of the players. The players, Debo had to be held off by a coach, had to be walked away because Jimmy threw this pick. This pop-up Debo was irate, ready to slam his helmet. And the way the players reacted to Trey Lance, I'll never forget it. I was like, wow. They got it right with this pick.
Wow,
he's
going to
do wonders.
I don't
system.
Even think that's my worst particular opinion, though.
No.
I was convinced Colin Kaepernick was going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God, that's
Butch,
a great
that's
one.
Not,
so like Colin
that,
Kaepernick, oh. like, I was convinced when Chris Mortensen came out and said what he said, because what we saw was like phenomenal.
Incredible in the playoffs, too.
And watching him throw for 275, run for 181, I'm like, okay, look, I know it's one. This guy has all the skills. He's going straight to all of them. And Chris Mortensen goes, you might be looking at one of the greatest football players ever. And we're
he was a thing.
Wow. He was
12 yards from getting a ring.
Just look at James Wiseman. I was convinced after talking to a lot of people, I was like, dude, he reminds me of Chris Webber. And his trajectory, his rookie season, I was like, well, he's finally got their center for
he
the future.
He was the second best player for the first two games that season.
Was.
Watch the games back.
Yeah,
no, he was
the second best player the COVID year, whatever that was, 2021?
I thought Terrence Jones out of Kentucky should have been the pick over Harrison Barnes.
Wow.
I was convinced Terrence Jones of Kentucky was going to be an NBA star.
Wow.
I was wrong.
What's yours? What do you got? You got any good ones?
I got
one that made his career.
I got a couple about Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But, I got a bunch of
yesterday?
No, I got a bunch of them written down. And we're going to ask the listeners if they remember any that we might not remember. But yeah, we're going to poke some fun at ourselves and
we played
some of our real bad takes.
We were
over
in
the
there
years.
Pulling some sound for our last interview with Steph, and I felt bad. You know, watching it again, these words came out of my mouth. I said, Steph, he's your Skip Bayless. And hearing it again a year later, you snitching. He laughed, but Stoney, they knew what I meant.
Man. It's got to happen. As one said, the Niners should trade a number 2 overall pick for Antonio Brown instead of drafting
Who froze
Bosa.
His feet off six weeks later.
And then 3 days later, I was like, you know what? He did something. I was like, well, maybe
we can laugh at him, and he deserves it. But when he was in his bag, Antonio Brown was as good as anybody that's ever done.
He had a 7-year run that's up to anyone's.
I thought the Niners were a receiver away. I was like, get Jimmy a weapon.
Maybe.
But there's so many ones that you had right. Like, for example, okay, the DeSean Jackson draft. The Niners had multiple swings at DeSean Jackson.
Oh, so
and I'll never forget
Watson.
Being a what?
Or what? Jackson or Watson?
The receiver.
The receiver.
Ballmer,
who no one had heard of, okay? Then, okay, second round. He's still there. They take the worst offensive lineman on USC, Chyler Rashad. And I go, they passed up on DeSean Jackson not once, but twice. Then years later, had a chance to trade for him,
yeah.
and instead took A.J. Jenkins with that pick.
Who played like Roscoe Jenkins.
That was Harbaugh, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I have a name in my pocket. Yes. Apparently, Trent Baalke said he wrote a name and put it in his pocket, and Harbaugh's like, well, I have a name in my pocket. Like making fun like of Trent Baalke.
Like draft day. Yes. Kevin Costner and draft day. Yes. I have a name. I'm going to write it on the paper, put it in a drawer.
When he picked A.J. Jenkins, everyone who watches college football was like, who?
Yeah, wow. Big Ten.
D-Jack was still one of the fastest I've ever seen.
His
do
first
it.
Game ever at Candlestick, he clowned the Niners.
Man.
Clowned them. Like he knew he's Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, Deshaun Jackson.
He's just super him. On no, the football
Deshaun
field.
Watson's
fast.
Another one.
Yeah, Watson.
I thought they traded back. I'm like, oh, wow, they traded back from two to. I was doing a
but now
show.
We can all say he might not have missed.
I mean, yeah, yeah, well, boy, you know.
He got his money.
Who?
D-Watt.
Who's to say
Watson.
The Niners, who's to say the Niners weren't in on him before all the allegations?
I think they were. I think they were. I love the woulda, coulda, shoulda trades. Bill Walsh was convinced he needed to trade for John Elway for the 83 draft. Right? No, you read his memoirs and all the stuff, and then we learned in that expose on ESPN about that draft. Yeah. He was, and the Raiders, were dying to move up for John Elway.
Man.
Joe Montana would have been out the door, and he would have been making every move he could for John Elway.
You guys ever watch that 30 for 30? Elway to
Marino? Incredible.
No, I did not.
That's one I have not
Elway's
seen.
Elway's agent tells a story.
Yeah.
Al Davis had a deal done with the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
But Al Davis and Pete Rozelle was beefing, a former NFL commissioner, and the Bears, quote unquote, ran out of time with their pick. And so the Raiders weren't able to get the deal done. They're going to send either Greg Townsend or Howie Long
Greg
to Chicago
Townsend.
For John Elway.
Wow.
So
I got to check that one out because I love Dan Marino because he was.
To me, he was going to be a Steeler.
That's my favorite Super quarterback Bowl. Ever.
Yeah. Thought he was going to be a Steeler.
Is he your number one?
He's one of these top three.
Wow.
I love. Well, part of it is because we share the same birthday.
Yep.
But I just love Dan Marino. He would just drop back, no mobility, and just let it fly.
Would you rather have
brothers.
Dan Marino's career or Phil Simms?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Simms got two, didn't he?
Two.
But he didn't start for one.
Hostetler got the other.
Hostetler. But he also had 11 for 28 or 11 for 26 or whatever it was.
But the Super Bowl, he was like 22
for 25.
There you go. It was some incredible efficiency.
Does legacy supersede, I guess, winning? Because I want to say Marino because his legacy is he's one of the best to ever do it.
Aaron Rodgers and Eli Manning. Like, who would you rather be? Everyone knows Aaron Rodgers is better than
one
Eli. Eli got the two rings.
Against the greatest, arguably, quarterback ever.
Because I think about this with Kershaw.
You know what? Eli owns New York City.
I know.
He eats for free in New York
he's
City.
He's disrespected.
It's the biggest market in the world. And Aaron Rodgers tricked off or pissed off everybody in Green Bay.
But
like,
physically, that dude is one of the greatest.
He is.
Quarterbacks
that's
A-Rod
another
would've, could've, I've ever seen.
Alex Smith for Aaron Rodgers.
Would you rather have Charles Barkley or Robert Ori?
Wow.
I'm Barkley
that's
all
unbelievable.
Day. I'm Barkley all day.
I don't know. Ori eats for free in like five cities.
Like, but does he have seven?
Six or seven.
Six or seven.
Would you trade Clayton Kershaw's career for Tim Lincecum's? Kershaw will go down as the much.
I think I would take Lincecum.
Right, I would take Clayton.
No, I would take Clayton.
You take Kershaw
on his best day. He's one of the best to ever do it. Barring the playoffs,
I think I'd rather have the Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
Shortness.
That's my guy.
Kershaw's done it for so long. I love Lincecum. That's tough.
But Barkley, people forget just how great he was.
Yeah, he was.
Like Marino, he didn't get the ring, but he was better than Orr. Like, you know?
One of the greatest games to have is nobody talks about against the Sonics, Western Conference Finals. He had 44 and 24.
Fuck, it was bad.
44 and 24 in a game seven. Man. Nobody even talks about it because he ran into Jordan and didn't win a ring.
Well, how about that game he had against the Warriors when they swept him
3-0? You can't tell him, you better double team me.
Yeah.
Nelly went
He went around the back, yamming on Chris Weber. Ugh.
Yeah.
That was
Chris Weber went around the back and yammed on him.
No, but he did it as well.
He just did the one. After the barbershop commercial, that's when the Warriors were popping.
And Scotty, we were at the cafeteria, and I go, one of my biggest what ifs for the Warriors that year that they lost to Phoenix. I'm like, if they would have played anybody else, but if Tim Hardaway would have been Avery Johnson, it doesn't get. But Scotty goes, tell him, Scotty, what did you say? It wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked.
We don't know that.
It wouldn't have worked.
Why do you say that? Tim Hardaway
because
and
Spree
Weber.
Had a problem with Tim Hardaway.
There you
see
go.
When so what happened was Hardaway got hurt. They drafted Weber.
Yeah.
So Weber's rookie year, they had Avery Johnson, Mullen, Spree. Billy Owens,
15-76.
Who's the guy? I'm forgetting.
Rod Higgins.
No, Weber. It was Weber. Billy Owens, Felton. Mully, and Avery Johnson.
Okay.
And so here came back Timmy Hardaway, who averaged 25 a game, and he just wasn't the right point guard for that team. And Spree was never a big fan of his, and Spree and Weber were so tight that Hardaway came back to the team, and Mullen might have been hurt at the start of that year, so he was in the, you know, he was kind of alone. Hardaway coming back onto that team, and then all hell
when you loose. Say that team, I think KICU Warriors.
Do you remember that?
Steve Fizziak. Yeah,
that's my guy. Was he good? He was great, man.
You might be thinking of Kenny Albert.
Kenny Albert was good too.
Who's the other guy who he did boxing and he did a
Barry Tompkins.
We've been blessed out here.
He did the classic fights with Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler.
He was in Rocky.
He was
Barry Rocky. Tompkins was in Rocky.
Wow.
That's crazy. Adrian. Yeah.
Bad takes. What's your worst take? Good.
My worst take.
Maybe you don't give it away. Just give me a recent one. Give me your good stuff.
This one hurt. I saw something in Wiggins' eyes the day Curry got hurt against the Bulls. Butch, I really did, man. He's about to take over. And it was crickets. I thought I did. I rewound it. Yeah.
Guru, I'm kind of a sucker here, but I'm kind of buying some Wiggins stock right now, and I don't know why.
No, you have to like,
buy some Wiggins stock. Why wouldn't you?
What else can you do with your money?
Warrior money. I haven't got no Warrior money. He didn't make the playoffs. Your boy's hurting. I haven't taken no vacations.
Bottom line is he can play. Willie, that's the enigma.
I would say one that aged well. Give me one, a random one that aged well that you still hold on to this day. You have a Dak Prescott tweet that aged really well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I have a Josh Allen one from 2015. I watched him at Wyoming. There was a guy, Brian Hill, at running back. Yep. Him, and I said, this Josh Allen will be a star in the NFL. And it's one I hold to this day.
Yeah, the Dak Prescott one was at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston was at Florida State. You guys know I'm a big Florida State fan. And Marcus Mariota's at Oregon. And I said, I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe I'm high. But I believe Dak Prescott will be a better NFL quarterback than both these guys. And Mariota and Winston went 1-2.
And they suck.
And look at Dak.
Wow.
Even though he gets ridiculed. Yeah, he's still a top 10 quarterback. That's a good one at age.
He's not better than Purdy.
Yeah. Not better than Purdy.
What are my good ones? I mean,
you had a whole year.
Yeah. I know what was a good one was I tweeted out, this must have been 10 years ago, tweeted out that Boris Diaw had made Draymond Green look ordinary on defense.
Wow.
And that's what he called me, a clown.
He responded on Twitter. You remember this, Butch?
So he's got it everybody.
It was a tweet.
Then we later had him on the air, courtesy of Subway.
Yeah.
Courtesy not of Guru. Subway.
I think it was Brownie Guru.
Those are the good old days. Courtesy of Subway?
And I brought it up, and he said I was wrong. He said Boris Diaw was one of the hardest guys to have out of cover. He had a big butt. He could use both hands. Da, 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 da.
Wow.
So, I remember Andrew McCutchen's first at bat for the Pirates, and I said, this dude's going to be a star. And he ended up having, we could say he had a damn good career.
One of the best Pirates ever, right?
We need to find the Brian in Palo Alto sound when Draymond's got nothing left.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Dude is great, man. You're listening to 957 KGMC and 1776. By the way, we didn't replay his call from earlier today. An Odyssey Sports Edge always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget.
It was on with Wood and Dibs. I want to hear it.
All guests on 957 Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. No, there's been some good takes, but you know what? You're never going to shoot 1,000%.
No.
You're never going to shoot 1,000. If you shoot 50% with your takes, I think you're doing well for yourself.
Well, I'm like Moonlight Graham. You know, I'm still looking for that first hit.
That's pretty good. That's so random and not what we're talking about, but I got to throw it to you three. I was in the barbershop and an OG older than me asked me, random, why is Roger Craig, the running back, not in the Hall of Fame?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you why.
He was the first Marshall.
He is a step in the evolutionary chain, but when you look at the numbers, like a guy like
Stockton Mitchell.
I agree with you. When you change the way the game is played, you deserve recognition in the Hall of Fame, because if you can't talk about the game and the evolution and the history of the game without his inclusion, then he needs to be included into the museum. But if you look at the raw numbers, a guy like Stump Mitchell and other guys of his era, because he played fullback at first, his raw numbers aren't great.
But you know what, though?
He played fullback and halfback. The first Super Bowl, he was a fullback.
But who was the half? Wendell Tyler?
Wendell Tyler.
Yeah. Wendell Tyler.
He can hold on to it.
Roger Craig made the all-80s team.
He did. All-decade team.
In an era that had Walter Payton, Tony Dorsett, Eric Dickerson.
Do you think Walsh got the credit for a lot of what Roger did?
Maybe, but he also, I look at Terrell Davis. He had three monster seasons.
You know why,
three Super Bowls.
You keep it real.
Roger Craig had a decade of a great career.
You know why he's in? He's in because Denver's underrepresented, and they have and the John Elway thing.
Was it the TV stuff too?
Yeah,
television. Yeah. So I don't know. You can't write the history of the Niners without Roger Craig.
But if I'm him, I'm upset. Like, just damn.
We win $1,000. We had Marshall Faulk on the show one time, and he goes, "My game." I think it was with you. After Roger Craig.
The sad part is, if like they New York Giants 1990 NFC Championship game, they're going for a three-peat. Yep. He's the guy who fumbled and went right into Lawrence Taylor's hands, and like New York was banished to Minnesota.
Yeah. Last game ever as a 49er.
It sucks. He is an all-time.
But that doesn't supersede everything. No, he was the first one to catch it and tote it.
What do you think of Niners Dolphins in that Super Bowl? Sure. You're looking at Joe Montana's satellite number one.
It was
but
him.
Also the high knees touchdown run into the end zone.
In the fog, man.
Yeah, I thought Roger Craig's one of the best running backs I've ever seen. Because I moved here in 90.
Okay.
And I was like, this guy's unbelievable.
He's a hog.
Man. Really.
And the ladies love him, too.
A great guy.
Catfish.
Great guy.
I know.
He had a daughter that ran track at Mitty that was like all world.
Did she play basketball? Did he have a daughter play basketball at Mitty, too?
She blew away a bunch of the competition.
I mean, he was the way Summerall and Madden would talk about him. That run against the Rams in the 80s down at Anaheim Stadium, and Madden was just gushing over him. It was like, this guy, Roger Craig, look at his legs. He could just plow through you and break tackles left and right.
That's got to be a stinky feeling to know. We're talking about the Hall of Fame and being home or fishing or just living your life like, what did I do wrong?
I was working at Tower Market in the early 00s, and they were like, hey, Joe Montana sells milk here. And I'm like, no way it's Joe Montana, right? This is all a bunch of non-sports fans. They're like, no, former Niner, Joe Montana. He works for Strauss. This is the milk company at the time. I go, there's no way. This old-timer is walking down the aisles. Huge man. I go, that's Bob St. Clair. Now, he used to work for the milk company. He was a rep because he needed to have a real job. And I go, Bob, my grandfather loved you. Oh, no, you went to Cal Poly. You played all your home games at Kezar. This is being a Hall of Famer. Pulls out of his coat a Pro Football Hall of Fame card from the NFL Pro Set card that was his card with the broken face mask and the nose, signs it on the spot and gives it to me. He goes, here you go, young man. Had the largest hands you've ever
seen. That's a story. How do I feel about a player that walking around with their old cards?
I can relate. Yeah. I would do it.
I love it. He's just walking around. You got your cards there. It's like, hey, here you go. Trust me, I understand.
Pro wrestled in the offseason to make money. I know all about Leo.
Who?
Leo the Lion nominee. He was an offensive and defensive lineman for the Niners.
All right, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow.
We'll see you.
The worst takes ever. You don't want to miss that here on 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.